But now, the story about a hard-bitten journalist, a disaster, and sunflower seeds. Paul McGough, he's a senior foreign correspondent for The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald. He admits, and this is the disaster in question, that he was deeply affected by the MH17 affair, I guess we can call it. Disaster, the downing of that Malaysian Airlines plane struck by a missile during that separatist war in Ukraine. Paul spent weeks at the crash site covering the story and struck on an idea that perhaps a small but meaningful memento could be given to the families of the 38 Australian victims who died. Something from the fields where the plane crashed. The answer? Well, he'll tell us that in a moment. Joined from the United States by Paul McGough. Paul, welcome.
Hi, Jonathan. How are you?
Now, you've covered a lot of war and conflict all around the world. Why did this particular story strike home, become so deeply personal?
Because it was such an Australian event happening, as I said in the piece, this was an appalling intersection of the types of stories that I cover. It was a aviation disaster smack in the middle of ground zero of a secessionist war. And I was struck by the fact that so many people often want to be able to go to where their loved ones have died or been injured. Mm. And in this case, it wasn't possible. And as I looked around, there were some Australian officials there, but they were there in an official capacity. Myself and my photographer colleague, Kate Geraghty, there was a few other journalists, but we were the only ones who were there in a non-official capacity who could do something to bring something from the area to the families and the friends.
And what was that thing you decided to do?
Well, initially we wondered about whether some soil might be appropriate. And then the constant driving to and from, the hotel we were in was about 80 kilometres from the crash scene, so there was a lot of driving and a lot of standing around waiting to get through rebel checkpoints, Ukrainian army checkpoints and the rest of it. And while we were standing, waiting or driving, I was always struck by the fields of sunflowers, how beautiful they were, sort of they'd ripple in the wind, and there's this sense that they were cloaking this disaster. Anything that was that wasn't big enough to be seen above them was hidden by them. So much of the debris of the aircraft could not be seen because it was buried. And so you had this sense that here was this tranquil, beautiful blanket hiding or concealing the extent of the disaster. And it occurred to me that maybe some seeds and the ability to grow them in their own gardens would have the same effect for the families and friends, that they could that it would mean something to them to have this part of this cloak, as it were.
There's something utterly beautiful in that, isn't there? And the sense of growth, of renewal, of beauty in that. It's a sad but sort of positive gesture as well for those families.
Yes, and for me it was essential that it had to be seeds from this year's crop, summer's crop.
And that involves a whole lot of logistic drama. That talks through how you actually managed to make that happen.
Well, the first thing we did was I envisaged something much bigger. I thought that this was something the Australian government should take on. I made approaches to Tony Abbott's office, and I wanted to propose that the government send an agent who would simply buy a farmer's entire crop. But after the initial exchange, there was no comeback at all, so myself and Kate were on our own. So what we did was we went to the local market and bought a very big suitcase. And on the last morning that we were in the area, we drove out to the crash scene through some pretty savage country, a country where some pretty savage fighting had taken place the night before. There were smouldering vehicles by the roadside, mangled bodies strewn around some of them. And basically we went to the cockpit village, as we called it, Rasset Noi. We called it the cockpit village because that's where the cockpit was. And we literally harvested a suitcase full of sunflower heads.
Which, did that raise eyebrows on customs at any point?
No, I mean, I brought them into the U.S. without anyone asking me. By the time we later we flew to Kiev, the capital of Ukraine, and I sat up until about 2 o'clock in the morning in a hotel room there, prizing all of the seeds out of the flowers, so that by the time I got on a plane to come back to the U.S., I had a very neat bundle of about 5 kilos of seed.
Paul McGough is a correspondent for Fairfax, and this a plan here for some sort of a tribute for the families of Australians lost in the MH17 disaster. And Paul, next step is obviously to reach out to those families. What was the response?
The response has been overwhelming. I think I've had emails from or on behalf of all 38 families. I've had lots of emails, dozens of emails from friends of the victims, and a lot of emails too from people who just wanted to comment or express a view on the project after they read about it. But I think I've already had up to something like 200 emails.
And next step is distribution of those seeds.
Yes, yes. What I want to do is to get a small parcel of seeds to each person who has asked for them. I'm also getting requests now, a few days after publication. The story's gone beyond the Australian realm. I'm now getting requests from Britain and from Malaysia.
Good Lord. Yes, well, it's a gesture that seems entirely apt and very much heartfelt. Paul, thanks for joining us and sharing those moments with us this morning.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Paul McGough, senior foreign correspondent for Melbourne's Age, the Sydney Morning Herald, and his gesture, sunflower seeds from the fields in Ukraine where MH17 and those within it eventually came to rest. A beautiful thought.